This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Hi and hello again. Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line. This morning on the program, we're going to be talking about our juvenile justice program. Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us and a whole slew of friends. Donna, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us on this beautiful sunny morning.
Yes, it is.
Gorgeous out there. Tell us who you brought with you.
Well, I brought the wonderful Dr. Linda Gilbert, from director of our Murfreesboro City Schools, and then she's got some guests with her, which I think would be appropriate for her to introduce them.
I'll do it. Thank you so much, Donna. It's a real pleasure always to see you and always to work with you. I really brought the folks that know about truancy and can talk about what our policies are, how the changes have happened since we've been working more closely with you, of course, Donna. But I brought with me Crystal Ferris, who is in charge of taking care of parent complaints, also is in charge of truancy. And I also brought with me April Hall, who does our attendance. So I thought that they would be able to explain what we're doing in Murfreesboro City in partnership with you and talk about the changes that they have seen. I've already talked with the principals. They are very happy with what we're doing as far as truancy. Of course, we don't have all the answers, but we are working very hard on making sure that our students are in school so that they can learn.
Very good. Well, that sounds like we're going to learn a lot. And as we have in the past, we're going to encourage you, don't call us during the first segment of the program, because we're learning about things in the first segment. And then as you develop questions, call us during the second portion of the program. We're focusing on a law, and if you have your law books with you, you may want to read along. TCA 49-6-3001. Judge Davenport, I'm sure you've memorized that.
Pretty much.
You use this every day.
We do.
What is that?
Well, we have a law in Tennessee that requires our children to attend school. And it's two-pronged. Number one, the children themselves can be brought up on a status offense. That's something only a child can commit for not going to school. Because it is against the law for them not to go to school, because we want them to be educated and prepared to go out into the future. And there's also a statute that allows for the schools to take out a criminal warrant against the parents if they find that the child is habitual and unlawfully not in school at the hands of the parent. And those are criminal warrants. And when this month we're talking how we deal with that on the city system, and those adults are served with their criminal warrant. They are arrested. They are taken to the jail, our Rutherford County Adult Detention Facility. They are just released, ROR. We don't require them to bond out. And then they're given a court date. And then they appear before, the statute says any court in the county having juvenile court jurisdiction. So that lies with our court. And then the first thing we want to do with them is to work with them on the issues of what problems we're having with not getting our children in school. And we need to focus again this morning. We're talking about our little ones. We're talking about the ones kindergarten through our elementary school with the city.
So this is a juvenile. When you say juveniles, you're really young children.
We're talking about, but we're not filing really on the children in the city school system because they're so young. You know, mm-hmm. A kindergartner can't get himself to school, can't get himself up. So we are charging, the city schools are charging the parents, and we're serving those criminal warrants, and then they're bringing them into court. And our goal is just to work with them. Find out, what are we having transportation issues? Are we homeless? Are we having other issues that they need help for? Because the city school system has a mouthful of things that they can offer our families that are struggling, and these times are hard. And that's what we want to do. We want to work with them first, identify the issues, and work with them so that our children do go to school.
And I would guess these early grades are the ones that are so important, because if you don't have a good foundation in the early grades, the later grades are going to be really hard to excel in.
It's absolutely necessary, even on that kindergarten level. And we have a lot of issues with truancy. And once they're in court, I'm going to order them, being tardy. And when a child loses instruction the first 30 minutes to the first 3 hours, they have lost the day. Also, it disrupts the whole class, so it disturbs the other children. So we focus also on tardiness as well.
Now, what kind of issues are the parents are the ones who are causing the child to be tardy or truant?
That's what we have to prove, yes, sir.
Crystal, are you the one that does that area?
Yes. April and I work together to talk to the schools to see what's going on there with the parents. I think that that's, since we centralized the program with truancy, the schools used to do that individually, but we took a really big jump and tried to centralize that program so that we all were consistent from school to school. And I think April can talk more about the day-to-day operations that we do. Whenever a child is out, we have a school messenger call that goes out to all of the parents just to remind them to send a note to school if their child is out, and explaining what reason that their child is out. Maybe they're sick, or they can send in a doctor's note or a parent note for that. And then if they have continued problems, then it's our job at that time to dig in and see what's going on, if there's more things that we can help them with, transportation, if there's homelessness, if there's something else in the home that we can help them with. And that's where we try to intervene first before taking them to court.
How many days does it take before you realize, hey, we have a real problem? This is not a bad cold.
Well, I'll let April talk about that, because this is the part where she handles the initial part of that.
Okay.
What I do is I work with our technical secretaries that work with teachers in the schools to monitor attendance on a daily basis. And we start with, when a child gets to 5 unexcused absences, we send a note or letter to the parent home in the backpack, make a call. This is in addition to the daily call. So we try to be in constant communication with the parent so that they understand the importance of having the child there, and that we do care what's going on with the child, if they're sick or there's other problems with the family. At that point, if we continue to see unexcused absences, I start more of a filtering system. We have had a lot of success involving our social workers, our teachers, and a collaboration among our guidance counselors, to approach it from looking at the whole student and what's going on with that child, what's going on with the family, if there's anything that we can do to help them due to a circumstance we're unaware of. So we don't simply sit back and say, you know, you're going to go to court. We try to really filter and look at the life and the daily causes that are not allowing that child to attend school. And at that point, if we have done everything that we can and we've made proper notes so that we're not also wasting the time of the court, we send them to Crystal. And we have had great success in lowering our numbers that actually go to court, and it has allowed us to get more involved with the daily life of our children to actually identify problems that we did not know existed in the past and allow us to actually help and get those resources to those families that are very, very needed.
Do you find that parents are often just saying, hey, it's not my problem. I have a full slate. I'm going to work. I'm doing what I have to do to maintain the family lifestyle. And I don't know what to do.
We certainly have many, many excuses that are given, and some of those we can actually provide education and a lot of resource to help that parent understand that there are resources available for them to help them and to get them through those situations. And then, unfortunately, we have the ones that, despite all of our best efforts and provisions we make, continue to just not see it as a priority to have the child in school, and that's where I send them to Crystal at that point, and we have to send them into the court system to get a little more enforcement.
So, Judge Davenport, by the time you get these families, all of this groundwork has been laid, and these parents are just not working. It's not working out. Is that right?
Well, we do depend on them because they have to swear out the warrant under oath to the best of their knowledge and belief that these parents are habitually and unlawfully failing to have their children in school. So they have to make those efforts first, and they are making those efforts first. And I want to be very clear, we're not talking about excused absences. There's a litany of excused absences, and that's more for the school system to address. We're just talking about what is classified as unexcused, and it's habitual. And again, we want still, even if they come into the court system, I still want to take time to work with them and say, what are we not understanding? What else can we do? And there's other services, even through the court, we might can provide to them through the Department of Children's Services as far as education or assistance in the home, and still identify issues, because we just want the children educated. I don't want to put any parent in jail. We're pretty much binding our adults over now to the grand jury if this is not working through the juvenile court system. And we don't want to do that. We want them to come in. And since we've been doing this now almost a year, I believe, on this new system of we're going to work with you, they're serving the criminal warrants first, then we really seem to be excited more about our children in school and seeing the benefits of that education.
So you're seeing an increase in attendance?
Absolutely. I believe Ms. Ferris can address that.
We are seeing that. And one thing that we can say that maybe not necessarily the attendance part of it, but we are definitely meeting the needs of the parents first. So our numbers that are taken to court are definitely down, because we are finding out exactly what needs to be done at the home and what we can do to intervene. Before, we would often just file based on the attendances, then we would get to court, and then we would decide then, you know, what was going on, what needed to happen. So we've really tried to take that off of the plate of the guidance counselors and the principals, so that they can get more involved with the families, and instead of spending time up their time to go to court and things of that nature. So now they have time to, you know, more meet the needs of the children and talk to the families. And so that's really helped out as far as the numbers that we are taking to court.
Judge Davenport, so we can all have a better understanding of what is habitual unexcused absences. What is the average number when you see these parents? How many times have their kids been absent? 3 times? 4 times?
Well, the law is 5, and they usually don't file until 10, and sometimes they may even give a few extra after that. But so the law is 5. But it's usually the policy of the school board not to file until 10, unexcused. And that's usually the guide, I think, of where they bring the warrant, because I don't go out and get the warrant. They do, and then bring the case into court.
What are some of the worst cases that you've seen?
Well, let's see. I had one that told me she couldn't get her child to school because she didn't have a car. And then after further testimony, she lived across the street from the school. I didn't quite understand that.
They don't understand that you're going to check these things out?
Well, I had testimony right there from the attendance teacher, and I just didn't quite understand why we couldn't walk across the street.
What did she say at that? I can't imagine.
She just couldn't do it. And some of my parents, they are overwhelmed. They have other children. They have other issues. They have personal problems. And that's why this is really working in the city schools, because they are intervening first. And then the court will also still try to intervene before acting on that criminal warrant. What else can we do for you? Because this is serious. This is a crime. This is a Class C misdemeanor, and you can be jailed for this. And then if I jail you, then who's going to take care of your children? And that's a whole nother avenue where I don't want to remove their children for being now educationally neglected or abandoned because they're incarcerated. So we want to stop it, and we just want our children educated and our parents to understand that importance of their role as parenting to make sure we get an education.
Now, this relationship with the city schools has been going on at this level for a year, is that what you said? about a year?
I believe so. That we've had, they ask for their own docket, and we squeeze that in once a month. Mm-hmm. And it's really reduced our numbers. They now are 11 o'clock docket on a Friday once a month, and we used to be there till 1 or 2, and now we're doing really well. And everybody that comes in, we're really having great success. I think I've had to bind over one adult to the grand jury, and they get an attorney at that point, and then they go to adult court and see if the grand jury is going to indict them on this. It's out of the juvenile court's hands at that point. So it seems to be working. If we've only done that, I think that's successful.
It sounds like it. Now, how do we compare to other areas, other places in Tennessee? Dr. Gilbert, maybe you would be the one to
address. Well, I think that when we look at our attendance rate, it's excellent. You're looking at probably 97%. We're running about 97% attendance, so that's pretty good when you consider that we're looking at 7,200 students, and we're looking at those absences, those few percentages, having to do with things like illness in the family, sickness, deaths in the family, extreme weather, although we haven't had extreme weather this this winter, thank goodness. I only had to make one 3 o'clock trip. But I think that our attendance is excellent. There are a couple of points that I think are important. One is that we have taken an approach, as anyone who knows what we've been doing the last couple of years, we've taken an approach really at the whole child and working with the family. So we've put in place social workers, we've looked at our guidance counselors, we've looked at behavior specialists, we've put in place behavior teams. And then the other thing we've done is once a month, our principals sit down with each one of our grade levels, and we look at each child, and we say, how's this child doing academically? What are we seeing that the needs are? So with all those layers, then we can really address the needs of the children better. And some of those needs do have to do with families. They do have, as Judge Davenport said, they do have to do with being able to get to school, what's happening in the family as far as illness, do we need to get the social workers involved, do we need to get the Exchange Club Family Center involved, do we need to get the Child Advocacy Center involved. So I think by looking at each individual child, that has certainly helped. I think one of the other things that we try to do is get consistent. We've tried to be consistent with our instruction. We're looking at our approaches to psychological and emotional behaviors and needs of the children. And I think by having Crystal, one point person in the district that the principals can go to, what happens is with mobility in our district, then Crystal's going to pick up on where those children are. And it's easier for us to find the children. And I know that sounds a little strange, but when you have movement, maybe families moving every 3 months, it's important for us to realize what children are at risk, families that are at risk, so that we can continue the services that we had in the previous school and the new school. So I think that what I would like for the audience to know is within every person that's talked to this morning, every person, there's this desire to help. Instead of being punitive, our desire is to help first and to try to get help for the families and for the children, because 10 days out of school, you're looking at 2 weeks. And with our instruction, as critical as it is right now and as compacted as it is, that really can affect children. And so it's incumbent upon us to do everything we can do to make sure that those children are in school, and part of that has to do with partnerships with the court.
We're talking today about truancy of your children, the importance of having them in school. Not only important, but it is the law. And we'll check on the traffic and weather. And when we come back, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, call us. 893-1450. We're coming into the segment where we'll take your calls. 893-1450. Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us this morning, along with Dr. Linda Gilbert from the Murfreesboro City Schools and the City Schools' Crystal Ferris and April Hall. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows she's on your mind. Everyone knows I'm in over my head. I'm in over my head.
WGNS Murfreesboro is true blue. Blue Raiders sports on WGNS. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Get a 2012 Ford Escape at Ford of Murfreesboro today and get up to $2,000 cash back. Or 0% APR for 60 months with $500 cash back. This excludes tax title registration and the $499 dealer fee. The 2012 Ford Escape, up to $2,000 cash back today at Ford of Murfreesboro, on Broad at Northfield, or online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Looking for a new look? Update your gemstones by letting us remount your jewels into a new style. White gold, yellow gold, vintage, modern. Let Bell Jewelers help you design a special piece with your old gemstones, or let our award-winning jeweler, Bob Lanier, custom make a fabulous piece just for you.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots. Family Staffing Solutions.
They've given me back a new life. There are truly people in this world that care about the elderly.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
This is not a high-pressure business. We want you to be very happy when you agree to do business with us.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
When you need that help, it's there for the asking.
143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
If your oil is leaking and your brakes are squeaking, call 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Service you can trust. On Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest service, fair prices.
Good morning. We still have a lot of congestion from that accident that happened earlier on I-24. It's near the Davidson County, Rutherford County line, and expect some backup from there for quite a while until that is cleared near the Old Hickory Boulevard exit. We see traffic easing quite a bit on Interstate 24 near the 96 exit, also I-24 at the 231 exit. Heads Up Hair Salon has 10 Nashville area locations. They've been central to be priced for over 30 years. Call or check out headsuphaircuttingsalon.com to schedule your next visit. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic for WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. Let's take a look now at the Murfreesboro weather, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll have lots of sunshine for today. High temperatures in the mid-50s with a calm wind, becoming north around 5. Tonight, a good chance for showers, low of 38 degrees. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Right now, 32.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
There is no safer place in the storm. Talk Radio WGNS Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We're talking about truancy. It is a Class C misdemeanor. If a parent is found to have failed to have their child in school, that means they can go to jail. 893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning. Is this the swap and shop time, or am I too late for that?
You're about 15 minutes too late.
That's okay.
But try again tomorrow. Good luck to you. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
To your guest, they were talking about the lady said she couldn't get the child to school and found out they were across the street from
right,
the school.
Right across the street.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask your jury, Dan, whoever else is in there, did you all let that child go back with that parent?
Well, I'll answer that question. I am obligated to do an investigative order with the Department of Children's Services for educational neglect if that has not already been done. So we may have returned the child if I've got a safeguard there that the department is on top of it to be ready to remove the child for educational neglect if necessary. So we do have the safety net for our children.
I heard you all talking about tourists. I guess you all come out not coming to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what one of the biggest problems is with the school system? I mean, every time you look around, they're out of school. Now, let me give you some examples. Last year, I noticed They told me, this was brought up in church service one morning, these kids was out of school because it wasn't in its snow days. Can you all believe this?
They were out of school because they didn't have snow days. Because
they were, you know, it didn't snow that year, so they let them out anyway.
Oh, I see. They had the they had the breaks built in and didn't use them, so they just closed the school.
And one more thing.
Let's go to the head of the stream on that. Dr. Linda Gilbert is here, who is the head of the schools.
Okay. Well, I've never been called the head of the stream. It's a little scary. I can talk to you a little bit about decisions as far as how we decide to let out school. The only days that we have, students have to be in school 180 days. Teachers have a 200-day contract. So the only reasons that we would have for letting out schools, we do have half day built in, but those really don't impact on the number of days that students have to be there. But those half days are for professional development, and we have those both for the city system and the county system. And in fact, what we typically do is the county establishes their days because they're a bigger system, and then we match because we do realize that when we're out of school or in school and the county isn't, then it creates difficulty. I can tell you a little bit about how I decide whether we're going to have school, and it strictly is related to weather. For example, a couple of weeks ago, there was a day when it had started doing some snow showers. I got out about 9:30 at night. I was seeing some snow showers. The temperature was cold enough, the street was cold enough, that I knew that there was a possibility of that sticking. We go all the way, our boundaries go all the way to Florence Road, and so I knew that we were getting snow showers on that north side of town. Took a look at it between 9:30 and 10:30, still looked okay, although I was a little worried. Got out about 3 o'clock in the morning, noticed that the wind had really blown the snow off the road. We did have some concern about Siegel and about Mitchell Nielsen, because in their parking lots, there appeared to be some spots of ice, but Larry Williford, who does a great job with our maintenance, assured me that he would have all that cleared. So we went ahead and went to school. Now, at that particular time, the county, I'm sure, was experiencing, because they go all the way to Laverne, and there were some roads out there that were dangerous on that end of the county. Last year, I can remember, I think it was last year, it could have been the year before, there was one day when there was just huge flooding, and there was no place for the buses, just could not have gone, and it was really dangerous for our parents to get out too. So I remember calling that day for flooding. There was one day, frankly, that it was questionable. I got out again at 3 o'clock in the morning and noticed that our sidewalks, they were predicting rain overnight. If it rained, it would have cleared the sidewalks. It did not. Our sidewalks and our parking lots, and also some of our side streets getting into our schools, were very dangerous, and I made that call. Typically, though, people pretty much can understand when they see the streets. They understand why we make the calls for the snow. But with that rain and with the one day where the snow was predicted to get off and did not, those were two tough calls. But typically, it's pretty clear if you have snow where you're going to have slick streets, I'm not going to put those buses on the road because it's just too dangerous, and it's too dangerous for our families to get there. But as far as closing school, other than weather, the holidays that are built in, the breaks that are built in, that just doesn't happen. Now, if we had an instance where we had a major power outage and we would not be able to heat the buildings or light the buildings, and of course that becomes a different ball game, but we haven't had those instances.
Okay, so that's a wives' tale, evidently you heard. 893-1450 is our phone number. Let's get back to the subject and focus on the parents' involvement in raising their children. And if they're not making sure that their children go to school, then the parents are the ones that are given the Class C misdemeanor and they're carted off to jail. But then who else could you blame if we're looking at a kindergartner or a first grader or a second grader, or especially some of the things that, like Judge Davenport had said just a moment ago, the parent said, I don't have a car, I can't take the child to school, and they lived right across the street. Now, is this the type of answer you find often? I mean,
it is, Bart. They have a lot of excuses, and some have good reason. But with the new program now with the city schools, by the time that they get to court, they have done a lot of assistance. And they're still not communicating with the school, and they'll say, but I've got doctor's notes. Well, I hear the case if we're going to get that far, or bind it over and let the grand jury hear the case. So it's not for me to now look at the notes. What I might do is say, well, then I tell you what, let's come back in another week or two. You need the importance of communication. Make sure we know who we're communicating to turn in those notes. And I also tell them, do not send a note to the school with your first grader. That is not their responsibility. It's you as the parent to make sure the notes get to the proper person. And I know that's hard on a lot of parents to do that. We hear that a lot. Well, I sent the note in the backpack, or I told my child to give it to whoever. And that's a bad communicator right there. So we try to work on that and help them know. And the city school's been over backward to say, okay, what time is good for you? We'll make ourselves available. So we try to have a meeting of the minds and an exchange of bargains to what will help them to make sure that they comply, because a lot of people are having difficulties, and it is economics, a lot of this, of what we're dealing with right now. And so that's why we want to work with them first. We don't want to just have them have a criminal charge on the record. We're hoping for a retirement and a dismissal.
And I guess going to school is starting a good habit. And if you have a good habit there, consistently going to school, you're going to develop that trend later on in life, maybe going to work on a regular basis and being on time.
It's teaching them responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And with 97, is that what you said, Dr. Gilbert? 97% attendance.
Yes, that's about what we run.
That's phenomenal. I mean, it sounds very good.
Well, it is very good, and we're very proud of that. And I think that it's helped with having our approach to the whole child. I think that there's a real understanding on the parts of at least the vast majority of the parents that we do care about the children and that we do want to put them first. And we really do believe that if we can have our students at school, then it becomes our responsibility to help them learn. And, of course, that's where our focus has been.
And, of course, Judge Davenport, you're getting the 3%. She said the 97% are going. So you're getting the...
I guess I am. I hadn't looked at it that way, Bart. Thank you very much. Made my day.
But so you have a real challenge ahead. Yeah. And it sounds as if it's starting to work.
It is starting to work, because I think, I mean, they've told the parents. They send out notes and have discussions that if we do not correct this is their next step. And then they wonder why they've been served the warrant and arrested, and why they're in court facing these charges. So we have to have another meeting of the minds to explain to them the danger that they're in criminally.
This just strange thing that ran through my mind. Have you done a background check on these parents who were involved to see if they were this way when they went to school? I mean, it's a learned behavior, it sounds like.
Well, that's a funny question, Bart. I've been here almost 13 years, be 13 in April. I do my own criminal check in my mind, because maybe I had this issue with them as a child, with mm-hmm. their parent. Mm-hmm. And now they've got children.
They learned
in
the
school.
Lesson.
But I don't do a background. But some mm-hmm. of them I am familiar with, because I had them as a child when their parent didn't have them in school. But we have a lot that break the cycle. But no, we don't do any kind of background check on them whatsoever.
So I was just curious if that was the case, and if it was, that's an even harder one to correct, it looks like. Because that's at least one generation, and you might go on back several generations and find that problem.
Yeah, and sometimes that is the case. And I know I have a lot of parents that maybe are on criminal adult probation, and another arrest will just not be good for them. And so we definitely do not want that. We do not want another violation filed because they got a new charge. We definitely do not want that for them.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm fine. Hold on.
We're doing fine. Turn your radio down just a little bit, because it's a little hard to understand you.
Then I'm going to hang up. I just want to find out, like, if your child, like, if you take them to, you know, send them to school every day on time, make sure they're getting there in the morning, And then if they get in the school, if they go on for breakfast or something like that, and then maybe they don't get in their class on time, and the teacher put on a report card, they got a tardiness, and you know they've been going every day, could you call the office and find out, you know, why come they got that tardiness on the report card?
Yes, ma'am.
Say that again, April.
Yes, ma'am. At any time that you see something questionable on that report card, absolutely call the school. We do have many children that participate in our breakfast program and our before school programs, and we have provisions in place to get those children to the classroom, but they are children, and they sometimes wander off in the hallway to the restroom or dawdle a little bit, as children can do, and so there may be a tardy on there, and they make effort to explain what's happened in that situation. It should never be that your child is marked tardy just because they were eating breakfast, because there's plenty of time.
Yeah.
In the event of a bus being late as well, we all notify the school the bus is running late, and those are all they accept them into class without a tardy.
Okay, yeah, because I've been taking mine, you know, every day on time, and I looked on the support card this last 6 weeks, and I seen on there we had a tardiness. I'm like, I know I've been getting to school every day on time. But I'm going to call the school on that to find out what's going on about that one, though.
Yes,
very
ma'am.
Good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And that's what parents should do. That's a caring parent. They need to find out what's going on, and if they find out that their child has been lingering with friends or whatever the child might have done, then you can correct that problem. 893-1450 is our phone number. We're talking about your children. We're talking about getting them to school on time on a consistent basis so they can grow up and be successful members of our community. We'll be back and continue the conversation in just a moment. Stay with us.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
WeatherEye.
We'll have lots of sunshine for today. High temperatures in the mid-50s with a calm wind, becoming north around 5. Tonight, a good chance for showers, low of 38 degrees. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Felluber. Right now, 32.
Maybe you need a new mattress. You can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen. Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
American radio's biggest voice.
You know who I am.
G. Gordon Liddy. Weekday mornings at 9 on the Good Neighbor Network. Talk radio WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Pictures of you and I on the walls around me. The way that it was and could have been surrounds me. I'll never get over you.
Welcome back. We're talking about your children and making sure that they're at school on time and on a consistent basis. Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us from the Rutherford County Juvenile Justice Center. Dr. Linda Gilbert, the head of the Murfreesboro City Schools, and also from the City Schools, Crystal Ferris and April Hall. And this is the segment that we take phone calls, so let's go back to the phones. Good morning, you're on WGNS. How are you today?
Just fine.
Good.
I was going to ask you a question there. Say you take your child to school,
and they go in, and you go home, and say they leave, and don't stay at school, what's the deal then?
Good question. And of course, we're talking about kindergartners through fifth grade.
This month, we're talking elementary, so that's not as common, but stay tuned next month. We're going to answer that question with Director Gill with the county schools next month.
Yeah. I knew that happened years ago in the county schools, so I just was wondering about it. I knew it's still, I'm sure it's still happening.
And it may even happen kindergarten through fifth grade.
We have not had that problem. The biggest problem that we've had is something similar to what the last caller had mentioned about maybe having a tardy in class. Whenever they're just kind of lollygagging in the hall, taking their time, stopping off to use the restroom, when the parents just drop them off right on time, or they need to really, you know, get to class as quickly as possible, and they might stop off, you know, when the parent thinks they've gotten there on time, and they just take their time getting to class. So that will count as a tardy. But as far as the leaving school, that's not something that we experience, fortunately. I think that's more of a middle and a high school issue.
Dr. Gilbert?
One of the things that we do need addressed at some point, and it really will probably have to come through legislation, and I understand why it's not there yet, because it's very difficult to define what tardy is. And so when you have the law and it talks about unexcused absences, it's easy for us to follow that law. But there really is nothing in place as far as what is tardy. I think at one time school districts used to count how many minutes added up to what would be a day and count that as a tardy, but really you can't do that. So we are concerned about those students who do arrive late and those students who are pulled early, because right now we have emphasized that we need to be working with children for that full period of time that we have. So tardies are an issue. Right. Whether it's tardy as far as getting there late or whether it's early pullout.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a lot of the cases that I have in court, that when we finally get to the point of going to court, many of those also are tardy problems as well. And so Judge Davenport, you know, addresses that with the parents at that time and stresses the importance of getting them to school on time.
And April Hall, I think you had a thought.
I did. I wanted to make parents aware also that, of course, we track tardies as far as the child arriving late, but we also monitor, as Dr. Gilbert said, early dismissals. And with spring approaching and spring sports approaching, parents need to understand that it is so important that they stay at school until the end of the day. That 30 minutes may not seem important to them, but it is in the instructional time for that student. And they also need to be aware that if a child is late in the morning and they leave early enough and they're not in the required amount of time for the school day, that adds up to an absence. So those things add up, and we are hoping maybe legislation will eventually catch up and we can count that time and add it up as absences so that they understand the importance of having that child at school for a full school day.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Brother Mark.
Uh-huh. Real quick, because we got some other calls.
She went out and looked at the street and looked like it might have been a little rough. My question is this. How do the people go to school in New York and Detroit? Do those kids go to school? And the reason why in the wintertime, the reason why I'm saying this, the year-round school classes seem to be more educated. Are they doing any better? If they're not or whatever, why not send the kids to school in the summertime? And where did spring breaks come from, Bart? We didn't have them.
Okay.
Well, the way the law is written, it really has to do with the number of days that students are in school, and students are required to be in 180 days by law. So that's statute. Teachers are on a 200-day contract, students are on 180 days, and that's state law. So how those 180 days are spread out is really dependent upon the local school district. When you were in school, I'll just take it from this. We could have 180 days and we could go all throughout the summer, but still we would have enough breaks so that the total would still just be the 180 days.
Okay, and I would imagine that if you're in New York City, Fargo, North Dakota, or any of those places, they probably have more snow removal equipment than we do in Murfreesboro. And if you went down to Florida, you'd probably even find less equipment.
Absolutely. And where we get the 13 days that we can use for snow is that we do that by actually going a half hour a day more than what is required by the state.
Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. It's about kids' report cards.
Uh-huh.
I have two grandsons that go to, I think it's John Phillips. And this past time, one brought his card in and was looking at it, and he did good on his card. And I asked my other grandson, I said, "Why your card?" He said, "Well, my teacher said I couldn't, she didn't give me one because I didn't return the last one. He misplaced the last card and said he won't get a card until he could bring that one back, but they haven't been able to find the card." And I'm just wondering, what's the deal on that? Why can't they replace the card at school? And because we're interested in his grades and we can't see his grades.
Right. I would talk with, if the parent has talked to the teacher, then I would talk to the principal after that and see what's going on with that.
Okay. Judge Davenport, we're about out of time. Do you have a thought you'd like to share before we leave tonight?
No, I just want to thank Dr. Gilbert and April and Crystal for being with us this morning and working with the juvenile court in this very important docket that we have to make sure that our children from kindergarten through our elementary school and city schools are educated, and that the parents understand the importance of that, and appreciate the hard work that they do before they bring them to court. Makes my job a little bit easier.
Very definitely.
I would like to plug, we have the Excellence in Education celebration this Friday night. It's at the Stones River Country Club, and invite everyone, call the central office, 893-2313, for tickets, and kind of watch what's happening in the city schools. It's a pretty exciting place to be. We have a lot of events coming up that I'm sure you'll be hearing about. So thanks, Mark.
Thank you very much. Judge Donna Scott Davenport visiting with us today, the head of the Juvenile Justice Program here in town. Dr. Linda Gilbert, the director of our city schools, along with Crystal Ferris and April Hall, who are all part of the city school system. Tomorrow at this time, we'll be focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. Stay with us. Much more to come